What's your name?
I'm Grant Kuzmak.
Okay, go ahead.
Farm here in Decatur, Michigan.
Okay.
Fourth generation farmer here.
Okay.
Raise corn, soybeans, edible black beans.
Okay.
Wheat and rye.
Okay, excellent. So how long have you been?
I mean, I grew up farming my whole life, but I started farming myself in 2019.
2019, okay. So you are the owner of this?
Yes.
Excellent.
I own the place.
Okay, very good, very good.
So, some days that's good, some days that's bad.
excellent. Very good, very good. So you do everything by yourself?
I have one hired guy, and then my dad will help fill in here and there. He's retired now, but he still helps out.
Okay, excellent. Very good. So what do you have here in your field?
What do I have where?
Yeah, what do you plant?
Well, that actually right there is popcorn.
Popcorn. Okay.
Yep, I got a little, and I have another 4-acre patch in Lawton, something different we're raising, but I've got 600 acres of corn, 500 acres of soybeans, and I think it's about 160 acres of edible black beans.
Okay.
And then we had some rye out this year, too.
Okay. So, looking at your farm, how big is your farm?
About 1,300 acres.
1,300. So, do you feel that this soil is, like, uniform across your...
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Okay.
I can only think of maybe one field that I have that it's the same soil type in the entire field.
So, and therefore the soil varies, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And when it varies, so do you change irrigation based on the type of soil, or you don't care about the type?
Usually not. Usually it's when you turn on the irrigation to water a single field, you water the whole field.
I see.
Now, absolutely, there are usually parts of the field that maybe don't need it yet or whatnot, but kill it or cure it's kind of the motto there.
I see. Okay. So, can you explain what type of soils are you?
We're mostly sandy loams, but we have fields, the edges of them along ditch banks and whatnot are muck.
Okay.
I do farm muck ground as well. That's the farm I'm thinking of. That is the one soil type. Overall, I mean, everything else is a variable from either a loamy sand to a heavier sandy loam, and there is clay, and we have it all.
Okay. So
I have farms that go from 1% organic matter up to 35, just because of the muck.
Okay. So it's like actually when you farm, so is it like probably it's huge, so you are not applying soil. You just use the soil that's already there, right? So you plant, right?
Yes.
So you are not bringing new soil.
Correct.
No. So you just go with what God created.
You use what you got, right?
Yeah, so and then you just plant, right?
Yes. Yep.
So if it's like actually when you do that, it's like actually works well in every area. So in terms of the quality of the crops that you get in different soils. So
yes, I mean obviously different types of soil raise different crops and crop yields. I do variable rate seed, variable rate apply fertilizer, so we every time we apply lime, that's based on a grid sample, soil sample, and we only apply where it needs it, etc. We'll lower the population on corn in a sandy spot, but then in the heavier ground, we'll up the population because it has more yield potential and whatnot. So, I mean, those are some things that we've done differently, but as far as what you're here to ask about today with the irrigation and stuff, I mean, yeah, it's you just turn around when we think we need some water and let her go.
That's it. So, and then it washes away many minerals in some places.
Probably.
Yeah. So.
I mean, we only ever really apply about a half to maybe 3/4 of an inch when we turn the irrigation on, and we just kind of use it as a stepping stone to get us to the rain, hold the crop through from any stress. But I don't use irrigation as a form of rain. I don't believe it is a form of rain. I just believe it's a way to help you make it through to the rain without substantial yield loss. But because farming here in Michigan, 9 out of 10 years, that is our yield limiting factor is rain.
Okay. So.
We because the majority of our soil is shallow topsoil.
Shallow topsoil. Yes. So
these farms are good farms when they have 6 inches of topsoil. Sand underneath.
Sand underneath. Usually. So you mean you apply the topsoil about 6 inches?
No, that's just what's
there. What's there? Oh, I see.
So when the glaciers came through Michigan millions of years ago, it took all of our topsoil and gave it to Indiana.
Oh, I see.
And so they've got the good farmland down there, and we've got what's left.
I see.
So they're working on basically what's been rebuilt for topsoil in the last 100, 150 years of farming.
Uh-huh.
With crops and organic matter being put back in, there's not much there.
I see. Okay. So therefore it is like, and I mean, probably you have digged into the ground. So is it like actually, so I know that when you go across your field, your farm, that the soil changes. How about if you go like 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet down, does it change also?
Usually, I mean, because I've dug plenty of ditches in my day across this farm. Putting something in, you know, electric line water line or something. And I mean, it's usually 4 to 8 inches of some topsoil.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to guess there's a couple foot of a different colored, you know, a darker colored sand layer.
Okay.
But then after that, usually, and it varies, you know, there are pockets of gravel or clay, but I'm going to say majority of my farm, at least around here, it's just sand, you know.
Oh, okay. Like sand.
Sand, maybe a gravel.
So you said like about a couple of feet of like soil.
Yes, we're very shallow topsoil.
Yes. Okay, and then after that is what?
Just sand.
So you said like three layers. Is it like two layer or three layer, do you think?
I'm going to say it's three layers because there's a layer, and I don't know if it's from farming through the years. Okay. You know, years ago everybody used a moldboard plow and whatnot. And with a good 16-inch moldboard plow, you can plow up sand.
Okay.
So maybe that soil is mixed from that. Maybe it's mixed from earthworms and roots.
Okay.
But there is a mixed layer underneath the topsoil. But then once you get down there, it's the pure sand.
So the topsoil, is it like, you say 6 inch to 12?
Yeah, four to 8 inches of topsoil.
And then it's
a mixed layer of topsoil and sand, and then it's just
about sand. About 1 feet, 2 feet?
Probably one, maybe 2 foot at the most.
And then after that, it's like sand.
Yeah, it's just sand.
Sand. So do you have like rocks into the soil?
Sometimes. I mean, like I said, the soil is just so variable that, I mean, I can walk you all over this farm and just show you different soil types, you know, without going too far away.
Okay.
I mean, like right here when we built this grain setup, I actually dug down and there was clay under here. And we stripped all that out and filled this in with sand so the water would drain. Because as you see around here, you know, water stands when it rains.
Yeah.
Because this has a clay layer underneath it.
Oh.
But I know for a fact when I put in the pipe for the irrigation, you know, you go 200 yards over there and there's no more clay. So
I see.
I mean, that's just how.
So very interesting. Very interesting. So, and I mean, our goal in the project that we started is to basically to understand, I mean, what part of it is big land, farm like this has what type of like material in terms of like holding up to the moisture. Mm-hmm. So for example, when you irrigate, then after what time you need irrigation in this part of your soil or land
might not.
Okay. So this like actually is what our goal is ultimately.
Yeah. Really, I mean, my only experience, because I worked on other farms when I was younger, and it's always been the mentality is just, okay, well, let's throw some water on it now just to try and get it by to a rain. It's kind of always been the theory. And, you know, the only person that's ever said anything like that to me was actually Doc Carl, who you just met with. He had an irrigation laying there at his farm for years, and I tried to buy it from him a couple of years ago, but to put this on the record, he wouldn't sell it to me cheap enough. But anyways, that I just remember him telling me that particular irrigation had some sort of variable speed deal to it, where he made the comment, you know, maybe if you got some muck ground or something that goes through, you can speed it up through that part or something. But that was the first time anybody had ever told me anything about doing something like that. I mean, it's always just been you set the irrigation to a certain speed for a certain amount of inches, and that's just what it does. And we're just happy when they work. Yeah, no. But
yeah, that's very good, very interesting. So, in terms of irrigation, I mean, is it like you use well water here?
Usually, yes. There are some guys around here who will pump out of creeks or ponds, but every irrigation we have comes from a well.
Okay.
It is hard.
Is there enough water? Water?
Yeah, we have 12 inch irrigation wells that pump out, I can't remember how many thousand gallons per minute.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So, in terms of like actually overwatering, so let me ask, I mean, if we overwater, so it washes away, of course, the minerals. But the minerals goes to the water well, I mean, water.
The groundwater.
And do you think that still actually when you take the groundwater back, pump it back, so you put the minerals back to the farm, or?
Well, I mean, you know, several farms in the area could all share an aquifer, a groundwater, piece of groundwater. So it might even be a house well, or it could be a municipal well for the city of Decatur. You know, it could be anything. So those nutrients would go to all of those places, everyone that's sharing that water. You know, if I put minerals in Lake Michigan, it's going to affect Wisconsin and the UP. It's going to, in theory, dilute and affect everyone. So it's not going to just recycle directly. You're going to take a percent, but another percent, a large percent, is just going to stay in that water for a long time.
And I don't know that you're ever going to meet a farmer who wants to lose his nutrients off of his field.
Oh, so, okay.
You know, it's definitely not an intentional thing that anybody does.
Nutrients cost money.
Yeah, so of course. It is very expensive, right?
So they don't want it to go to the, they want it to go into the plant.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like,
so then how much water you apply is very important. How much, then the based on the plant and the depth of the plant, so the type of the sand. So all of them are factors that basically contribute to the how much. What percentage of this nutrition goes to the plant? What percentage washes away?
Yeah. On average, your application is, what'd you say again?
Half inch to 3/4 of an inch.
Right. So some people will irrigate a full inch, an inch of water. So that's, you know, you say an inch, and I don't know if you're familiar. It's like if we wanted to put an inch of water on here, it'd be literally an inch of water standing, is how you kind of quantify it.
I believe it's like 30,000 gallons per acre.
Might be more. Yeah,
it's slightly more, but it's
42,000 or something like that. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so, and if you think about it, that inch is going to soak into the ground and push the nutrients down an inch. If you did 3 inches of water, it could push it down 3 inches. So a half inch is good to just, it kind of does that, and then the plant pulls it back up. You know, so if you think about it, the nutrients or the minerals get water soluble, and then the plant pulls them back up, and it just kind of does this with a half inch of irrigation. And if you get, would we get 3 inches of rain?
Yes, I got 3 inches of rain yesterday.
It could, in theory, all the way push it through the root zone, where the most of the nutrient mineral uptake happens.
Because that's always been like on our really sandier farms. That's why we only put on a half an inch. But you know, heavier farms, I'll put on 3/4 of an inch. But when I say that applying, I always figure that I lose 1/10 of an inch to evaporation.
Right.
And I try to only run the irrigation at night, but we're so busy on the farm doing everything else too that sometimes they get ran during the day when I don't want to. And usually I always turn them off in the heat of the day. You know, just sometimes you can't help it, need to get it done. And right here I run five center pivots off of one well. So we're always just running these really hard just to get it through on a cycle when we get dry. But
so from what I understand, that the problem is a very interesting problem. It's an interaction between the type of the plant the root distribution under the ground, the type of this soil, and the way also that plant absorbs the nutrition. So it's like actually all of this should be taken into account. So this could be another proposal.
Yeah, soil type of plant, weather conditions, vegetative state of the plant, depending on when it needs irrigation and when it doesn't. And it's even worse when you get to fruit,
And then this basically contributes to two things. How you need to apply the minerals to the ground, how you apply the irrigation. So this is kind of like both of them. Am I right?
I would say too, and I'm not a soil scientist, but I would imagine it has something to do with the types of nutrients as well.
Uh-huh.
Because we've always been told how, for example, nitrogen and sulfur are extremely leachable, but something like phosphorus is not.
Mm.
You know, they say that phosphorus, I believe it's only moves a half inch in the soil profile a year.
Mm.
So it's extremely immobile.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not something that is leachable. That has to do with the charge and the soil, et cetera, and how that leaches. But
okay.
That's always, you know, that's why nitrates in water are more of a problem than phosphorus usually.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have your dairy farms and just put it in the ditch.
Well, so phosphorus binds to soil. Mm. Nitrogen and sulfur binds to water.
Mm.
So if too much irrigation, too much rainfall, it's going to push out all your nitrogen and all your sulfur. But surface runoff, so it, you know, water running off the top of the field and taking soil with it is how you're going to lose phosphorus.
Mm.
But they're finding now that there is actually some water soluble phosphorus that is leaving too. That's what's making it to ditches and stuff usually, through tile lines.
Okay, so this phosphorus minerals, is it, how you describe it? Is it like good for the land or not? I mean,
it's a crop acquired nutrient, absolutely. You know, it's your big three are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, N, P, and K. And of course, you have sulfur and all your micros, which are important as well. But you know, phosphorus is a big part of raising crops. And,
Let me ask you also a question. So probably you spray your field. Do you spray for any reason your field for like actually some disease, etc.?
I have never, still to this day, excluding what it comes on a seed treatment, I have never used an insecticide on my farm.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
I'm a little bit of a hippie in the sense that, you know, when I do have a, because I have, it's honestly rare, but I have had pests come in and eat crops as far as some sort of bug.
Mm.
Well, I'm a firm believer that bugs can only eat unhealthy crops, which is true.
I agree with you, right?
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it works fantastic. Sometimes it doesn't work so fantastic, but I've never lost a crop.
Mm.
But I will take a tissue sample or a sap analysis and figure out what we were deficient in.
Mm.
And if we're deficient in phosphorus and boron, well, I'll go out and I'll foliar feed phosphorus and boron instead of applying an insecticide. Mm. And 9 times out of 10, the bugs go away, you know, or the crop just gets healthier and it's fine.
Mm.
Because, I mean, I'm just anti going out there and killing because insecticide just kills everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know? Some insects are useful, some insects are not.
Every bad one, there's 900 good ones.
Yeah.
You know? So it's always been against my thing to just
Totally agree. So, and in general, another basically issue that comes with the basically irrigation. So when you apply this type of like pesticides and then you irrigate, it goes to the all the way to the water, and you basically take the water back and you water your crops. So, and this pesticide gets into the crops and it's not good for the health as well. So,
and we do use herbicides on the farm.
Herbicides, of course, okay. Yes. So it's like herb type of like pesticides, yeah. Right?
You know, we spray Roundup and atrazine and whatnot.
That's good. That's very good. That's very good.
I could go down a wormhole with you on that all day, but.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. It was nice talking to you. Very nice talking to you. And okay, very good.
Did you want to dig plants here?